From safely behind the walls of the Desert Fortress, Sam Rogowski here from Las Vegas, Nevada. Friends, what a week. I'll tell you the greatest bit of news, and I can't hide my delight in this. Michael Avenatti. Now, you know what happened to him, right? He got arrested a second time. This on new charges related to him violating bail conditions. Now, he gets arrested as he is leaving his own disciplinary meeting at the California State Bar. I have to tell you that I have actually never heard of something like this happening. I think if you're as a lawyer, that's pretty much as bad as it gets. See, the last thing that you let me tell you, as a lawyer, I'll tell you what this is. When you go to if you're a member of a state bar, right, at any in the state that you practice in, they're the organization that licenses you. And they literally can decide whether or not you get to keep your license. Without your license, you're not a lawyer. Without that, you don't get to practice law. You don't get to be active in your profession and take away your livelihoods. It's a big deal. And in order to do that, they can't do it just arbitrarily. On a whim, they have to file charges against you. And you go before not a judge in regular court, like Superior Court. You go in front of a state bar court judge. And if you're displeased with the results in that proceeding, you can appeal that ruling to the state Supreme Court. So here, Avenatti is already on trial for allegedly stealing money from his clients. And I think the allegation is that it's well north of $1 million that he took from one client, just vanished into thin air on his lifestyle. But nonetheless, so this, he's getting tried for this by the state bar here in, over in California. And what happens? As he's leaving, the Central District of California, the court is based in Santa Ana. They send agents to literally pick him up, arrest him. They put him into custody. I think that was on Tuesday afternoon. On Wednesday, he appears in front of the judge. And the judge puts him in, he removes bail. He takes him off of bail. He remands him to custody pending his trial in the Southern District of New York, which means Avenatti, practically speaking, could be in jail for a long time. He's going to be in jail until his trial on charges that he extorted Nike. And now if he's convicted, he may be in jail for the remainder of whatever term he's given. Crazy news. Now, just maybe a year or so ago, there was nothing in the news but fawning adoration from the left. And so we have here for you a little dollop, a little reminder, a taste of Christmas past. This is what you would have heard on various mainstream media networks about the one and only Michael Avenatti.
He's Donald Trump's worst nightmare. Michael Avenatti.
He's out there saving the country.
Don Meacham says he may be the savior of the republic.
I am just dying to hear what you think.
These people all like you.
I'm the only person right here Donald Trump fears more than Robert Miller.
We think you guys are the tip of the spear that's going to take down Donald Trump.
Michael Avenatti's a beast.
Okay, that's true.
And
he's a beast.
He's a beast.
I hand it to her, and I hand it to Michael Avenatti.
But he has a great, bigger calling here, that being a lawyer is minimal compared to what he's doing.
No one has talked tougher directly to Donald Trump on TV than Michael Avenatti, and Donald Trump is afraid to mention his name.
One reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
You look at the field of Democrats right now, and Avenatti's the one who stands out.
If they decide they value a fighter most, people would be foolish to underestimate Michael Avenatti.
Well, color me one of those fools. Those of you who have listened to the program for quite some time will remember that I told you from the get-go this guy was a shark and a charlatan. And I was, of course, accused of being pro-Trump and blinded by my MAGA-colored glasses. The issue was, I think I mentioned this back in the, I know I mentioned this on the show, I always had a concern with the way he was exploiting his client. He wasn't acting. You remember when he was out there parading Madam Stormy, Stormy Daniels, the lady who I guess had some form of relations with Donald Trump back in the day, had signed a non-disclosure agreement, received payment for a sum of money. I believe it was around $130,000. And Avenatti was representing her in that desire of hers to break the NDA and to be free of the contract with Trump to not say anything. Now, the way these cases always work is if you're a good attorney, you're interested in the well-being of your client. So you give your client good advice, which in this case is don't say anything. Don't go out there. Don't, you know, don't just let's litigate the issue of whether or not you have a binding agreement with Trump. Let's figure out if we can get you out of it. And only once that legal issue is determined, then you are free to go out and speak freely if that's the determination of the court. So here's what happened. So Avenatti doesn't do that. He basically tells her, no, we're going to go on every network. We're going to get out there. We're going to talk very loudly about all the mean things that the orange man did to you. And the net result of that, I'm just astoundingly wonderful legal representation, is that Stormy Daniels owes Trump, I think, $300,000. And I think that he got her some settlement from someone. I forget who it was. And he stole it from her, apparently didn't pay her either. So these are all allegations and something that the state bar court is looking at, also federal prosecutors in California. Now, I tell you, these darlings of the left, they fall, they continue to fall, and it's happening. You saw it today, just yesterday, I think, reported in the news that James Comey is apparently being looked at for leaking classified information to the press. We've known this. We followed this story. We knew that he was the source. We knew that he was sending information to a friend of his who was publishing it on his behalf. So this is how the Trump nemeses are slowly disintegrating. It's happening. It took a little longer than expected, but it's all coming undone. Did you get to see the Democratic debate? I endured as much of it as I possibly could. I did not see the entire thing. But I have to tell you, there is not one person up on that stage capable of defeating Trump. It's just not going to happen. The same night that those fools were up on stage arguing over who was the bigger socialist, Donald Trump was in Wisconsin. He held a rally and he was magnificent. He was magnificent. And I have to tell you, he did something that I think was absolutely brilliant. Now, I know you. I'll see what you think of this, Robbie, if you think that this was done on purpose. There was a line in the part middle of his remarks or so where Trump begins talking about the Iranian guy, Soleimani, and the strike on him, the drone strike that wiped him off of the planet. And he began talking about the imminent threat. Only Trump didn't use the word imminent. He used the word eminent with an E, not with an I. Now, he repeated eminent, eminent threat, eminent, eminent, and he kept repeating it over and over and over again. So the news the next day, of course, is that what? Trump is a moron. Eminent, har, har, har. Trump doesn't even know the word imminent. And so it went. The mainstream media ran with that story. And all we heard for 2 days was various sly jokes about that. Now, I happen to be of the mind that Trump did that absolutely 100% on purpose. Now, the reason I say that is because imagine that you are not a particular scholar of the English language. In fact, now, I don't mean to embarrass Mrs. Sam Nation here, but I ran this by her. And my wife is not a stupid person at all and well-educated. And as I was running it by her, I said, so what do you know what the difference between imminent and eminent is? No, I don't, was her answer. And I said, now, the mainstream media has been making fun of you for 2 days straight. This, folks, is how Trump operates. And these clowns on the left, they cannot figure it out. He literally makes them accomplices of his. He manipulates them into winning over regular Joe voters. Read former acolytes of the Democratic Party. See, what Trump does is he positions himself as everyman. He did this during the campaign brilliantly with the fast food. So he had himself pictured with the tortilla bowl and with the KFC bucket and with the Big Macs. And what did all those dummies over there at CNN and elsewhere run with? This Trump guy, you know, him and his Diet Cokes. Okay. They lost women right there. Okay. Because, you know, that Diet Coke, I think, is the. Is this a sexist thing to say? Is the official beverage of the housewives of America? I mean, it is. So they make fun of him for the fried chicken and the burgers. Yeah, I know. Acosta, Jim Acosta at CNN, he probably eats, you know, farm to table food, sprouts, things like that. But the people in all those red counties that went for Trump, they don't eat sprouts. Okay. They eat burgers and they eat buckets of fried chicken. And yeah, Trump did this all on purpose, and he didn't do it just for the mere effect of appealing to people. But he did it also to get the media to laugh at him, criticize him, and thereby laughing at the voters out there that were, you know, that were the ones doing the things that were being mocked. It's the same thing with these language things. Trump knows the word imminent. I'm telling you, he does. But the fact that he repeated it wrongly over and over and over, and I mean, 10 times, tells me there was something there to it. And then when I saw what the media did with it the next day, I thought, this is brilliant. Now, the same night, of course, the Democrats were eating each other alive. The big drama of the night was that Elizabeth Warren had just freshly accused Bernie Sanders of sexism. Now, how, might you ask, did she do that? Well, she claimed that Bernie had at some point told her in a private discussion that a woman could not run for president or win the presidency. So Bernie answers the question in the debate, asked, you know, did you ever say this to Senator Warren, that a woman could not be president? And listen to the indignation in his tone.
Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States. Go to YouTube today. There's a video of me 30 years ago talking about how a woman could become president of the United States. In 2015, I deferred, in fact, to Senator Warren. There was a movement to draft Senator Warren to run for president. And you know what? I said, stayed back. Senator Warren decided not to run, and I did run afterwards. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes. How could anybody in a million years not believe that a woman could become president of the United States?
Boy, I heard this when he was saying this. I heard it and I thought to myself, my Lord, he sounds like Brett Kavanaugh. I said, I know exactly what they're well, I know exactly what they're going to say about him. Oh, he is angry. Do you hear that tone? Boy, it sure sounds like he's hiding something. So Bernie came out swinging, and incidentally, I just don't believe that he ever said that. I'm with him on that. I'm also very impressed that he knows what YouTube is. At any rate, this was what Abby Phillip, the White House correspondent for CNN and moderator of the debate, then asked Elizabeth Warren when she turned to her after Bernie's response.
Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
I disagreed.
This moment in the campaign, in the debate, is everything you need to know about the state of the Democratic Party. I will explain when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It ties, by the way, folks, into the timing of impeachment, because I, your host, had a lightning bolt strike me from the sky with some inspiration here on how this all ties together. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
If you've been injured in an accident, don't talk to an insurance agent or claims adjuster. Talk to us.
Look, the insurance company's job is to deny your injuries, and that's because paying you what's fair costs them money.
We will get you the compensation you deserve. It's what's right.
So visit us at samandash.com.
Samandash.com. Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
Yeah, I think Bernie's credentials as a feminist are pretty bona fide. I saw a video of him earlier in the week where he was attempting to back up a subcompact vehicle somewhere in Iowa. Now, if this were TV, I could play you the clip, but let me just describe to you what it was. Imagine the most inept student driver trying to back up a car for the first time. And that, I think, would sum up what it was. I mean, it was multiple failed attempts. The driveway from the vantage point of the camera looked pretty straight. And it was just a matter of backing up. And this car looks like something out of one of those Richard Scary Word books. You know, it's just this tiny, tiny little cartoon of a car. But I think, you know, Bernie was trying to win over women voters. And women drivers, perhaps. I don't know. It was awful. But nonetheless, let's play this again, because this moment is epic. When so you got to understand what CNN did here. They gave Bernie an opportunity to defend himself. He defends himself tooth and nail. Then the moderator, Abby Phillip, says to Bernie, she says, now, Just to be clear, you, Senator Sanders, you absolutely did not say this. That's correct. And then she turns and she says to Senator Warren, "What did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?" Play the clip again.
Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
I disagreed.
CNN is so fake news, it's not even funny. That is such a slanderous hit job on Bernie. There are no words to describe it, but I'm going to tell you why it wasn't just an accident. The establishment Democratic Party, in full support of or in cahoots with the press, do not want either Elizabeth or Bernie Sanders. Okay, they don't want Warren or Sanders anywhere near the ticket. It's become very clear to me they absolutely believe, and if you listen to various talking heads right now, they are the consensus is that Biden's the guy that can beat Trump. And it is with this that the media is fanning the flames here, hoping that these two distract each other, or destroy each other, rather, and provide a distraction and an opening for the mainstream candidates. Now, the other thing, I've really struggled to understand the timing of these impeachment articles. So as we know, they were transmitted, brought to the Senate. Did you see the procession? The House managers, the basically the appointed prosecutors who will lead the case against Trump in the Senate, they carried the articles over after getting signed ceremoniously in Nancy's office with gold pens with her signature on them. It was all very fancy, all very solemn. So they brought them over. Why now? Why a month later? And I had to think about this, too. Right as this hit job goes on Bernie, the press is all in for the hit job. They are fanning the flames instead of, right? I mean, think about it. If you're CNN, and you, what do we know about CNN? Are they pro-Trump or anti-Trump? Well, they're absolutely pro anything other than Trump at this point, but definitely pro-Democrat and anti-Trump. So CNN wants to do what? They want to see a unified Democratic Party soon. They do not want a drawn-out primary. So they are picking winners and losers. They're trying to do that. That's what this is about. And it's an effort to knock out Bernie and Elizabeth because they both look bad. Bernie looks bad because he's been accused of being a sexist. That's not good in the woke Democratic Party of today. And Elizabeth Warren, well, she just looks like a lying piece of crap who just stabbed Bernie in the back. Not good. Not good. Absolutely not good. The winner in this is Biden. And then that brought me to the timing of everything. And we're going to go a little longer in the segment because I want to get at this. So why hold on to these impeachment articles for so long, Nancy? And I the reason that she gave, of course, was picking the right team and making sure that the Senate would come through on certain promises. Well, she knew she was not going to get anywhere with that. Like, senators weren't going to play the game there. Yes, she certainly fundraised off of it. The Democrats have collected millions and millions of dollars in fundraising over this. But I thought for a minute, I said, you know, what's coming up right now in the Democratic race for the nomination? And what's coming up are the early caucus states of Iowa and New Hampshire. These are early primaries that oftentimes can make or break a presidential campaign. The early winners of these states can oftentimes have the right momentum to get ahead. Now, the trial happening there, the primaries are a couple weeks away. The trial, Trump's trial, is what, about 5 days away. We'll start on Tuesday, 4 days. So we'll start on Tuesday and we'll last. Well, some people are saying, Mitch McConnell's saying a week, but some people are saying it could last for 30 days. Now, imagine this, right? Who does this tie up? Well, it ties up all the senators. So who are the senators? It's Elizabeth and Bernie. They have to be on jury duty. You know what jury duty is. You've gotten the call. If you haven't, you're lucky. But your whole life comes to a grinding halt is what happens when you get called to jury duty. So they, imagine this, they are going to serve on jury duty and there's no getting out. They can't appeal to Justice Roberts and say, you know, I've got a campaign to run. Your Honor, I need a pass. Can you hit me up for the next impeachment? Doesn't work that way. So instead, their butts are going to be in that chamber, in those chairs, 6 days a week. This is a catastrophe. And that means they're effectively sidelined going into the most important races of the primary. I'll tell you who isn't sidelined, and it's Joe Biden, because, of course, he doesn't have a job right now, so he's in semi-retirement. I think he's maybe collecting some Burisma money somewhere or something. But nonetheless, I think that there's – maybe this is – I'm too deep into the tea leaves, but We will see how this all unpackages itself. But this is why this delay really, really benefits Biden. And when I look at how CNN, the official mouthpiece of the Democratic Party, is certainly fueling the flames of the destruction of Sanders and Warren, I think this is very interesting. All right, when we come back, there's a hot mic moment right after the debate. That is an interesting listen. And then let's go through what this impeachment entails and where it's headed. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation Radio Network, making radio great again. Friends, the question is, and I've been getting some emails today about this, does Biden have a better chance than Bernie, and Bernie have a better chance than Biden? What are my thoughts on this? And I don't think that either of them, of those two, will win or can win against Trump. I am just absolutely convinced that Biden is going to be a worse candidate than Bernie. Now, I say this because authenticity right now is a very strong currency, and it's one that Trump has plenty of. A lot of people don't like him necessarily, like his policies, but they at least know where the guy's coming from. And they feel like they know him, and they feel like he's one of, you know, he's the guy that's one of us. The craziest thing about the Trump brand, if you will, the Trump political brand, is that I know professionals that feel that way about him. And then I know plenty of blue collar people that feel that way about him. There's something that Trump has that really connects to people of all stripes. I'm telling you, it's an unusual thing, and it's unique. It does not happen often, and it's something that politicians definitely would love to bottle and use on a regular basis to get that same mojo. Now, what Bernie has going for him is he's authentic. He's just not everyone's cup of tea. And I am convinced if Bernie gets the nomination, certainly if Elizabeth Warren gets the nomination, with their radical left-wing positions, there will be a number of Trump-hating Democrats who will vote for Trump because they fear what those two would do to the economy. I know it. I'm telling you, there are people always, not always, but a lot of people vote in their self-interest. And did in the last election, by the way. I mean, there are people who weren't Republicans, maybe supported Hillary in the past. I've talked to them, and they said that they thought that Trump could do good things for the economy, and that his talk on deregulation is what would benefit them, and they voted for him on that basis. They thought he was a sleazeball, but they liked that part of him. So I think that either way, it's not a good situation. So here's the hot mic after the debate. Sanders comes up to Warren comes up to Sanders, and Bernie stretches his hand out, and Sanders kind of puts both hands in the air, and this is what the microphones picked up.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle of it. I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
See, now, by the way, that, you know, that third voice in there was Tom Steyer, who's the most irrelevant clown in all of this. Mind you, Tom is nice. He took a break from messing up California, my home state, that is an utter shambles because of Tom Steyer funding the massive Democratic takeover through a motor voter initiative. So anyway, Tom Steyer, irrelevant. Hey, I just wanted to say hi, Bernie. Hell yeah. Hey. They just think he's a distraction in all this. Absolutely. Yes, 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 absolutely. Warren knew there was a hot mic. It was staged. She came up. She spoke to him right there in front of everybody, in front of the microphone, and she wanted to capture that, this exchange. Warren is the biggest snake right now. I mean, you got to hand, this woman is a manipulator. I can't even imagine what happened if she's pregnant, but absolutely, she planned this to a T, and Warren said, you called me a liar. So as Warren says, you called me a liar. They said, Sanders, you know what? Let's not do it. We'll have that. You called me a liar. You told me. All right, let's not do it now. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy stuff. This just in here. I'm seeing this on the New York Post. What is this? Yes. President Trump seems to really want to face far, far left Democratic Senator Bernie Sanders. I guess he's been tweeting about it. But then I guess Trump just tweeted, they are rigging the election again against Bernie Sanders, just like last time, only even more obviously. Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah, they're bringing him out of so important Iowa in order that, here we go, in order that a senator, he sit through the impeachment hoax trial. I am telling you. And this doesn't mean it's true just because I say it and Trump says it, although that, of course, some corroboration is always helpful. But it does seem like the Democratic Party establishment is out to get Bernie. Sam Rogowski back right after this. Hold on, more to come. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
An accident is incredibly stressful. Handling an insurance claim, totally overwhelming.
Also, insurance companies have zero interest in giving their money to you because that just cuts into their profits.
Our team is in your corner because you deserve what's right, and that's full compensation for your injuries.
So visit us 24/7 at samandash.com.
Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
One thing of interest that happened this week, I don't know if you heard this, but Facebook, as all tech companies do with the web-based product software, they run occasional updates to that software. And apparently one of these patches that they ran had a glitch in it. And the glitch resulted in publicly exposing who various admins were of public Facebook pages. So what this basically meant is you could see who was administering the content on the site, making the updates and this and that. So for most of us, it's not very interesting because it's us. If you've got a page, you're on it, you're making edits, that's all it would show. What was interesting is that Greta Thunberg, the climate activist and Trump nemesis, the girl with the scowl at the UN, it seems that who is making all the changes to her Facebook site? Her dad. Now, I've looked at her social media stuff. I've been, followed it, and I have no doubt that she's a bright girl. But it's really perfect, and it's very well. It's polished, you know, and it. I know. It's clear to me. Her dad is puppeting her around. He's got the strings, and he's out, and he's using her, right? And who would pay attention to some guy from Europe who has? I think he has long hair. Does he? He seems like he would. I can't remember if this picture if he had long hair. But who would pay attention to a middle-aged guy talking about global warming? No. What better way than to get a teenage girl who's in high school who has a little bit of a disability, apparently, and is out there, advancing this cause. Of course, people are listening to her, putting her on covers of magazines. Meanwhile, all the words, it turns out, are written by dad. Very sad, and I think exploitative, certainly, of this child. Greta needs to go back to school. and get her life in order. And this is just very, very sad. Can you imagine? This is, but you know, parents are like this. I'm going to detour here for a second because parents, it's funny. You know, sometimes we as parents, we can't help ourselves, not to this, you know, this great extent, but we have trouble with knowing where the line is. And I'm struggling right now, I'll be honest with you, about figuring out where that line is, where it comes to help. You know, we had I think I mentioned the science fair project, you know, that my son had, that he, you know, we didn't help him at all on it. And so I did go this week on Tuesday to his school, and I went and I saw all the science fair projects. And there is no way some of these projects were done by just the kid, right? I mean, these are projects, they had LED. One of them had LED lights on it. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that masterful electrical engineer of a sixth grader did that. Thumbs up to you, buddy. No, of course. These are parents, and they're helping their kids out. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe I should have helped him more. Right. I mean, maybe I should have, because I'll tell you, my son's project, it was terrible. I mean, it was not terrible, but it was bad. It had a piece of paper that he'd glued to the poster board. You know, when they have to do those displays, and the piece of paper was peeling off. It was peeling forward. It was bent over. It was dog eared. I know those of you who know me personally know how meticulous I can be and particular about things. I had an anxiety attack looking at this kid's, at my son's poster board that he did with a partner who wasn't particularly helpful. Anyway, so I thought to myself, well, damn it, maybe I should have been more involved and I should have helped him and all that stuff. And then I came back to the realization that I have, and that I have as a principle of mine, is that kids need to figure it out. They need to do things on their own. I need to be there to help if asked. I need to be there to proofread. I need to be there to support, teach, at times correct forcefully. But you can't cross the line of actually doing things on behalf of your child, because then their victories are not their victories. They're your victories as a parent. So I know that the extreme of this, of course, is using your child as a puppet to advance your political opinions and send them around the world and really put them in emotional harm's way. But I think to a lesser extent, we do, as parents, we do, our kids are extensions of us. And we sometimes do get a little carried away. I almost gave in to that feeling. When I saw the science fair projects, I thought in the back of my head, I said, you know, man, Daniel was just crushed. He knew he didn't do a great job. And then I thought afterwards, I said, you know, it's good that he has that feel. It's good that he's crushed. It's good that he saw those great projects. And you know, maybe he'll do better next year. So there we have it. More on the day's news when we get back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
Gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rojofsky. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Well, turns out Dr. Audio has set the record straight that he in the sixth grade apparently did add LED lights or lights to his science fair project. And he did it himself. That's because he's an engineering genius. And that's why we have him on the circuits. Okay. Oh, Michael Moore waded into the Bernie feud. I still have to play this clip, guy. I love this. So this is Michael Moore talking to Margaret Hoover on the firing line on Wednesday about what he thinks, who's right and wrong with the Bernie Warren fight.
I've known Bernie since the 80s, so there's no way he said anything like the way it's been reported. So, I mean, to be honest, the night that that happened, my first thought was they will mark this day, January 13th, as the day Donald Trump was reelected. When are we ever going to learn that this is on us? This is not on the Russians. It's not on the Republicans. It's on the Democratic Party for not getting its act together, not using its head.
Well, this is bingo. You know, it's kind of bad, I think, if you're a Democrat, when Michael Moore is the truth teller and is calling it as he sees it. I believe that Bernie didn't say this, and I do absolutely believe that they're exploiting this, that Warren understands that this is her make or break moment. For her, it's a Hail Mary pass, right? She has nothing to lose. She's slipping in the polls. This is the moment where she can break out. The only thing that a tired liberal like her knows to do is to retreat to a place of identity politics, gender warfare, woke politicking, and that's the playbook. I think all these old school liberals are bewildered that they're getting had with a playbook that they developed and willingly participated in so many years. These were all people screaming, of course, that Brett Kavanaugh did it and that he was a bad person and that allegations alone disqualified him from being a justice on the Supreme Court. And now Sanders is being accused of being, well, at the very least, a bit misogynistic and pessimistic about gender equality in America. And he's defending himself quite loudly, quite vociferously, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it, but not good for the Democratic Party. Good. Now, the impeachment. I will finish with this here. We're doing a little quicker show today, but I have to tell you, I mean, the only thing that is an unknown at this point is how long the trial will take. I know some of you out there are getting nervous, and you're getting nervous because of this Parnas character out there. Now, this guy, he's the guy, they found a guy with a worse hairdo than Trump. Have you seen him? He looks like a Smurf sat on his head, okay, so this guy, supposedly Giuliani, used him as an intermediary between Trump, between the Trump White House, back channel to the Ukrainian government. And this guy gets charged with some campaign finance issues, I think, some wholly unrelated stuff, is facing real jail time. And is now, I guess, singing like a bird. I mean, he is out there. He went on Rachel Maddow. And he is, I mean, he's getting so carried away. I read today that he's even added beyond what he confessed to on Maddow. And he's now, I guess, tying in that he overheard Trump himself give the order to axe the Yovanovitch, the U.S. ambassador to the Ukraine. Okay. Unpackaging all this and making it really easy for you to understand. The issue here is going to be not whether Trump did anything illegal, but really whether there is enough outrage over what Trump has done. This impeachment is a purely political animal. So the question here is, let's just assume that Trump did it all and that the only thing he's guilty of, right, in the court of public opinion, is that he's lying about it. I'm telling you, there's no way he gets impeached for this. Okay, the idea that he broke a rule that Congress passed, that once we congressmen and women give money to the White House for something, the White House cannot, under any circumstances, hold up the money. There's some rule about that. And Trump allegedly violated this rule, committed a crime. We saw that yesterday in the news. The independent office of whatever decided that Trump broke that rule, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the problem is that that very same rule was broken, I think, 6 or 7 times by the Obama administration, and nobody did anything back then. Nobody cared. The Republicans didn't care. They weren't about to impeach him. And so this, and the best part about this, apparently this rule has some very specific provisions of what needs to happen when the White House does violate the rule. Nowhere in there is throw the president out. It's actually pretty laughable. I guess I guess Congress can file a lawsuit, or there's certain remedies that can take place. It's all trivial, basic stuff. So what I think happens here is that certain Republicans in the Senate want this over very quickly. Mitch McConnell, certainly Lindsey Graham, Republicans that have states back home where they're in a race, they are in red states that voted for Trump. They are going to push for this thing to get out the door and done and over with as quickly as possible. It is not the duty of the Senate to reinvestigate this whole thing. They are not here to call a bunch of witnesses that the House didn't call. They can, but they're under no obligation to. So could this last a week? Yeah. Could it last a month if Senator Collins and Romney and other rhinos decide that, like Murkowski, if they decide that they want this to go on, they want to hear from a few witnesses and then go with it? That is, I guess it is. Susan Collins today said that she was interested in hearing from witnesses. Now, she did the same thing during the Clinton impeachment trial, heard from witnesses, and then voted not to impeach, voted to acquit. And she being a Republican senator. So all of this is very, very wishful thinking that this is going to somehow take down Trump. But understand what is happening here. They absolutely want this to interfere with the reelection of Republican senators that are in competitive races. And I don't know if Lindsey Graham's race is that competitive. I do believe that Senate Majority Leader McConnell in Kentucky has a bit of a tight race with his opponent. So he wants this to be history by the time November comes along. Trust me, history in the rearview mirror, all done and over. But I don't see any path forward. They got to get 60 votes, right? 60 votes or 66 votes. Well, they got to get there. No way they're going to. I think it's 66 votes. They can't get that. They're not going to get that to impeach President Trump. So at any rate, rest easy. Let's see what happens. And by the way, if hiring the right lawyer is helpful in these cases, then I think Trump's got it made. The Democrats brought in none other than the legal wizards Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler. Meanwhile, Trump hired Ken Starr and Alan Dershowitz to represent him. I think that Trump is going to be A-okay. All right, guys, let's have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. Always a pleasure. Have a great time with your families, your friends. Be safe out there. And we'll see you again next Friday. Same time, same place, same channel.